Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stackin' Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Game one, season opener in the books. And the Warriors are in first place. Dismantle the Lakers in a game that ended up 10 points apart and even got within like six in the last couple of minutes. But Warriors are pretty much in control of this game, again, aside from closing each of the first half and the second half, not as sharp as they could have been. Intensity waned just a bit, but easily could have been a 25-30 point win. And if not for Luka Doncic's greatness, probably would have been. Players of the game, I'm going to give co-players of the game Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga. We'll take a look at both of them in a bit. And just, again, just so much to like and a lot of promise in this Warriors team. It really looked like Warriors basketball. On the flip side, it looked like Lakers basketball that you would hope to see if you're a Warriors fan, because the Lakers looked like trash last night. And I know they were missing LeBron, but that roster's got a bunch of holes in it and not a lot of shooters, even fewer good bigs, and the Warriors really exposed them last night. Warriors went small to start this, and we didn't know. I think we thought Al Horford would probably be in that starting lineup. You know, we even had reports earlier this year that, hey, Horford is going to be a starter. But whether it was because they were playing just this matchup against DeAndre Ayton, and you say, hey, we're fine going small and let Draymond play at center, or you just say, hey, we don't want Al to play more than 20 minutes of her game, and it just makes more sense for Kuminga to log those minutes early. Or it's just, hey, Steve Kerr wants to see this through and give this front court of Kuminga, Butler, and Draymond as many minutes together as possible. Or lastly, it's just you don't have another point of attack defender with any bit of size against Luka Doncic, which might be the number one reason why Kerr started Kuminga tonight or last night against Luka. But we'll find out tomorrow against the Nuggets when they play a much bigger and much better team with Jokic and the Nuggets. But I thought the starting lineup did pretty well. Let's kind of just look at with Jimmy Butler from the start. Like I said, player of the game, 31 points, and most of that damage done at the line, 16 of 16. And, you know, even though the Warriors were a bit over-dependent on Jimmy, especially when Steph was off the floor, I thought that this recipe works for the most part. And, you know, again, the bench unit's going to have to find another engine, because Jimmy Butler is kind of like a running back, like Christian McCaffrey. Every time he touches the ball, it's a physical possession. It's a grueling, high energy, high effort possession, which usually ends with him on the floor or, you know, through contact. So I don't know how sustainable that is. I mean, he's been doing it most of his career, but at this point, you know, I'd like to see a little lighter usage on Jimmy. But that's where my criticism stops, and everything else from there is beautiful. And I'm going to start with the culture that Jimmy Butler has brought to an otherwise already top-notch, you know, elite culture that the Warriors have been for the last decade plus. Jimmy Butler adds another layer to that. And it starts with his competitiveness, his physicality, his intensity. And those are things, you know, that Draymond Green brings, but Jimmy amplifies. And it's, you know, he brings out the best in Dre, minus that technical foul Dre got, which will always be there. But you just see what it's like having two lions on that defensive side that play great off-ball help defense, physical defense, and just high IQ play on both sides of the court. And it's that culture that spreads to the rest of the lineup, especially that starting lineup who forced like five turnovers in the first couple of minutes of this game. They just got after it, playing with force. And, you know, that's the Warriors at their best, but that's also Jimmy Butler and what he can bring to especially that defensive side of the ball. But then you also see just the locker room presence he is. It's Buddy Hield, you know, as much humor as there is in this whole Batman, Robin, Alfred thing. It's, you know, but Buddy Hield looks as comfortable as he's been with any team, and it seems to be as having as much fun in this locker room. Just you could tell he loves being with the Warriors. He loves his relationship with Jimmy Butler. And for, you know, what was perceived as Jimmy Butler being a potential locker room cancer, a bad teammate, you know, name whatever you want before he came to the Warriors, man, he is a great teammate. He brings and heightens, you know, guys like a Buddy Hield up to be a positive, you know, welcomed, important role player on this team, and Buddy rewarded with the Warriors with five threes and had a great shooting night, and is going to be a very important weapon at this Warriors second unit. It's what you hear after the game that Jimmy Butler has taken Jonathan Kuminga under his wing. He's taking the time to help Kuminga, not only on the court, but just, growing as a person. It's staying after practice and working with JK. And you see a lot of that in Kuminga's kind of, mentality and his approach to this game. And I'll give Kuminga credit and everyone else who works with him, but you just see just kind of the mentality of Kuminga. He's seeing the floor better. He's learning to play to that low post where Jimmy essentially is like one of the best playmakers in the league. That's starting to become part of Kuminga's game, and just all the little things that Jimmy does well, and I hope it continues to kind of pass on to Kuminga. So really, I thought Jimmy, for as well as he played, it's just, this whole team's identity and culture that he is just a very much a force and a part of. Also, a big part of that culture is Steph Curry. And you see what the Warriors are in crunch time when, fortunately, this game did get close enough where the Warriors had to keep their starters out there. And that you saw what their closing lineup is going to look like. You saw what the offensive system is going to be. And that is just Steph and Jimmy in the pick and roll. It's going to be a lot of inverted pick and roll with Steph setting the screen and Jimmy ball handling, and it's going to go both ways. But when the Warriors needed a bucket, that's what they went to. Jimmy got into the lane for a layup with about 2 minutes left when the game had gotten to about two possessions. Next time down, same thing. Jimmy gets to the line, knocks them down, and then again, I think the next very next possession, little give and go this time, gives it up to Steph. Steph gives it back to Jimmy, who finds a cutting GP2 for an easy dunk. And then obviously they finish with that crazy 35-foot dagger from Steph, who I thought was gonna night-night it. It felt like a night-night type moment, just being in LA opening night and just draining it from 35 feet, which I think when he shot it, I thought it was going in. I'm pretty sure most of you guys did too. So a great end to this and not too much sweat off our backs. And nice to end with a Steph dagger, who played a good game, not great, but really brought it on the defensive side. Had a great block in rotation on Gabe Vincent when the game was getting a little close, and just kind of recovers to that corner, blocks Vincent, and just shows up in the clutch and at the end of games when you need him. On that note, I just got back from Vermont like an hour before the game, just to see the in-laws, my father-in-law, who, great guy, and is a, I'd say, a casual sports fan, a casual football fan, probably less of a basketball fan. So he only knows like, a couple guys in the league. And we were just talking about LeBron and how he just, he's sick of LeBron's antics. He's always throwing a tantrum, which I agreed with. And I answered with, we can't all be perfect like Steph Curry. And my father-in-law's response is, I hear that this, Steph Curry, he's just one of those selfish guys who just shows up to practice whenever he wants, and he's consistently the latest or the last person to show up to practice, and he's just not a good teammate or a good leader, and just basically takes liberties because he's famous. I'm just like, dude, what do you, I don't know what to say to that. Like, I didn't want to like call out my father-in-law. So I was just like, yeah, no, it's, yeah, that would be terrible. I haven't heard that, but those are terrible traits if that was true, and basically changed the subject. But that's the second time we've had that exact same conversation. And I don't know where he's getting his news from. Anyways, I just thought it was funny. And maybe what he really means is that Steph Curry just shows up at the end of late games and is just a clutch player, and that's what he heard, and that's what Steph did in this one. He shows up late. All right, over to Jonathan Kuminga, other co-player of the game. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 three-pointers. The stats pretty much tell it, and then some. So he started, and just kind of looking at that five-man unit that we talked about a bit earlier, they got off to a good start. Bad second quarter. They didn't finish the first half well. The defense kind of came on hinge, and the spacing was not, it was very evident that the spacing was hurting us on offense towards the end of that second quarter with this unit. But then they go in and they come out in that third quarter and go on a 16-4 run. And essentially that's where the game was won. And then again, they finished strong at the end of the game. But that third quarter, that's where they went and essentially featured Kuminga. They went to some split action, and Kuminga starts as a screener, and then he comes off of a I think a Steph screen right after, knocks down a three, and basically gets eight quick points, and Warriors get off to a fast start, coming to finish that third with 11 points and three threes. And I really thought what Kerr and the Warriors did a great job of was to overcome the spacing issues of not having great shooters out there. They essentially went to kind of like this three-man game between Steph, JK, and Dre, where they're, setting screens for each other, they're setting on-ball screens for Steph and vice versa. And they created their own spacing that way. When you have guys that don't command spacing by standing out in the corner on the wings, how do you pull the defense out to create that space? You put your guy in pick and roll action with Steph Curry, right? Have Kuminga setting screens for Steph. His defender has to come up and guard Steph, or they switch it, or just the different coverages. You're pulling everyone out. And then to add that extra layer, you have Draymond now coming out, and you have either two screeners, and they're basically playing this three-man game where you're pulling three defenders out beyond the arc because you have to respect Steph coming off of any of that action. And the result is you're getting a lot more space for Kuminga to work, and you're getting more space on the backside. And now that lineup may work again with a few more wrinkles built in. So I thought really good job kind of coming out, finding ways to get the ball to Kuminga in good spots. And that 3-point shot looked pretty good. Looks more consistent, better arc on it. Almost, I think all six attempts were pretty straight on. And the release just looks a little bit better. There's less of that little left guide hand kind of just coming off. Looks when his feet are set. Looks a lot more consistent, and he took good ones. For the most part, when those feet are set, I don't mind Kuminga taking that shot, especially later in the shot clock, and showed that he can knock them down. And most importantly, hitting those threes in a nationally televised game when the whole league's watching, except for maybe people in Vermont on the East Coast, which it sucks when games start at 10 p.m. Let me tell you that. But the league's watching, and I bet you Cam Johnson, who's going to be guarding him tomorrow in the Nuggets game, was watching and sees him hit four open threes, and maybe he inches up an extra step or two and gives a little respect and gives a little more spacing. Maybe whoever else is going to be guarding Kuminga in the future, the more you see it, the higher that percentage jumps up to, and the more it's you respect that open three and have to guard it. That's the spacing that this lineup will need to succeed. So this went a long way in terms of just kind of giving that perceived space and just him as his evolution as a shooter. I thought that Kuminga, defensively, you asked him to do a lot on offense, but you also asked him to guard Luka Doncic basically the entire game. And yes, Luka went off, but this is one of those games where it just didn't even matter who's going to be guarding Luka. And I thought Kuminga did fine. He most importantly didn't foul him too much. Fouled him a couple times, and they were soft ticky-tack fouls. I don't really fault him too much on those. That's just kind of what Luka does. But I thought JK made Luka work, and they had different coverages for Luka. And they asked JK to basically play one-on-one a lot. And you could tell they've asked him when in a one-on-one situation, force Luka to his right and force him to kind of, finish to that right and a little short mid-range, which he knocked them all down, but you made him kind of, grind out the possession and finish. When you knew he was going to have help, Kuminga would force Doncic to the left, and then you have like a Draymond or a Jimmy kind of giving help, and they would just kind of trap him there. And then they also threw some zone at Luka and the Lakers, which is actually really effective. But my point being that JK did a good job on Luka. There was one possession where he forced Luka right. Luka missed a kind of a midi, and JK ended up with the ball, gets out and runs rather than attacking and kind of being out of control. And I guess hoping to get to the free throw line, slows it, finds Steph, who's trailing the play, and knocks down an open three. And that's the difference between, what Kuminga was when he was forcing the issue versus now when he's letting the game come to him. He's making the easy pass, he's seeing the game and slowing down. It's what I compare to, especially mid-football season, to like a quarterback who is athletic. And you see, let's take like a Justin Fields, for example, who has just probably lost his job for good, holds the ball too long. When he has the ball, it's just not processing it, and he's relying on his athleticism, and the ball stops and he holds it too long. Versus you look at like a Tom Brady, who no athleticism, but was the GOAT of all time because he gets the ball out of his hands and he sees the field and he takes what's easy. Yeah, did I just make a Kuminga Tom Brady comparison? Well, That's what I want Kuminga to do, is just take the easy pass. And you see him a lot of the time, doesn't know exactly where to go. Just get the ball out of your hands, keep it moving, swing it, take an easy pass, get into the lane sometimes. And just sometimes you just kind of shovel it over to Al Horford or shovel it back to Steph. Go set a screen. Just get the ball out of your hands, keep it moving, and spacing will open and the play will develop from there. And it's really just kind of trusting this read and react motion system of Steve Kerr's. And that's what the Warriors need to see out of Kuminga. Just buying into the system, playing, and just not needing to be a hero each play. And just kind of live to fight another day and just keep it going. And I thought Kuminga did a great job with it. Couple little turnovers, there's gonna be rust all around and could have been better there. And I thought overall, I'd give him a B plus game and maybe even an A minus because I thought the rebounding was great. And the six assists, that, I mean, even if he's getting four assists a game, that's great. And he had good assists. And I think it just comes from keeping the ball moving again and just finding the easy open shooter a lot of the time. So loved everything I saw in terms of the peripherals that JK provides. And then yeah, he got to his 17 points. Also, just defense in general, the Warriors, we saw it at the beginning of last year. When they're getting after it and being dogs and playing with force and really just getting into perimeter guards, the Warriors are really hard to beat. And you see in the beginning of games, the Warriors would get out, and when they're fresh, they're attacking. You get GP2 off the bench doing the same. You get Moody doing the same. This year, you're going to have Melton to get after it. You're also going to have Will Richard to get after it. You have a lot more depth now. And there are obviously going to be lapses in intensity on defense and little letups, like you saw in the mid fourth quarter after the lead had ballooned. But if you get this team locked in and you get this minutes distribution where your stars are playing, low 30s. You have, I think we had seven guys playing over 20 minutes last night. We had a couple other guys, GP2 and Richard, played like 13 minutes each. You're going to see a lot better defensive effort, especially out of these role players. And that's when the Warriors are at their best. So, defensive strength and numbers, just keep that intensity high and just be disruptors, right? Be disruptive, play with force, and force the Lakers into 22 turnovers. Again, all sorts of different coverages. The zone was effective, the trapping of Luka was effective, just lots of different coverages. And I say all that, and I start smiling because I think about how poor the Lakers are in terms of shooting the ball and around Luka. And yeah, it seemed like the defense worked well last night. So we'll see tomorrow against the Nuggets how good that defense really is. Speaking of Will Richard, 13 minutes in your debut on a nationally televised game and getting minutes in the fourth quarter. I think he had a weak side steal somewhere in the first half, and then that leaked out to like an assist out in transition to GP. Had like a put back off of Buddy Hield air ball, just kind of just keeping the play alive, just circling and just, those little intangibles like a put back. And then lastly, what speaks to me the most is in the fourth quarter, as the lead was getting a little dicey and Warriors call timeout to stop the bleeding, what do the Warriors draw up? Steve Kerr draws up an out of bounds play for Will Richard, kind of just a baseline swing pass, knocks down a three pointer. And otherwise, what would have been a kind of a closer game had he not made that. That shows the trust, and from there, that makes me lead to believe leads me to believe that he's going to be getting minutes going forward. Maybe he's that next Pajemski type in Steve Kerr's mind, where you can count on him to just give you solid two-way minutes, and I love it. And we'll see what happens when Melton and Moody come back, but just really good to get him early exposure and for him to help you in a winning effort. So. Yeah, I'll leave it there, guys. Really encouraging first game. Everybody looked good for the most part. And as we get our legs under us, it's a very dangerous team. And we're in first place. All right, I will talk to you guys after our game on Thursday against the Nuggets and then a back-to-back against the Blazers. So I'll come at you guys probably in between that. And thanks for tuning in. All right, don't forget, like, subscribe. Let's get it big this season, guys. Let's really stack this season. And until next time, I'll talk to you. Peace, love, and stack dubs.